Tappers. I'm not even going to ask how we're doing because I am not doing well. It is Saturday, March 16th. I will hope that you are doing well. I'm in a weird mood. It's about midnight here in the Snowtap WI offices. I'm just coming off the Marquette Seton Hall really disaster of a basketball game. And I don't really even know where to start. I guess let's clear the air. So first of all, we're not even going to waste any time. We're not going to share niceties. We're just going to get this off our chest because we got to. Marquette lost the game. Marquette, you know, they lose 81-79. Seton Hall beats them. But it was a game where the referees were really the star of the show. The referees made the difference. James Breeding became the new Jimber, and he is officially rebuked. He's been rebuked for a while, but James Breeding, just with an all-time meltdown of a performance as a referee, he lost complete control from the start, and he never got it back. And Marquette just were put at a disadvantage, really because of Breeding and the rest of the referees' misfailures. Now, one of the referees who was here, I forget his name, but he's been involved with a lot of weird Seton Hall games. This goes into the top tier. I can't remember a weirder college basketball game. I'm trying to rack my brain. I'm sure I've seen some weird things happen in college basketball, but this is right up there with the weirdest. I don't know how this affects Marquette's seeding. I don't know what this does for the long run. I will say that I'm okay with Marquette losing, and that's not just, you know, sort of day of like how I'm feeling. Would I have liked another shot against Villanova? Sure. Did I have an awesome like fire ass tweet about the revenge tour? Yeah, I did. But the fact of the matter is like Marcus Howard's fucking hurt, and I need Marquette to be playing on Friday next week in the tournament. So basically he has a week off to just let that wrist heal because he's not the same player. And he is really struggling, and because he's struggling, it is impeding Marquette. So I need them to play on Friday. Now, if they play Thursday, it's fine. 6 days, 7 days, whatever. One extra day of rest would be nice. Beggars can't be choosers, though, so you never know. But I'm not entirely upset that Howard and Marquette are not playing tomorrow against an equally tough Villanova team that will beat them up. Now, do I hope Villanova runs it up on Seton Hall? Abso-fucking-lutely. I hope Seton Hall loses by 45 points. Like, I hope it's an absolute bloodbath. Seton Hall is Marquette's newest rival. If I am the Marquette, you know, scheduling committee, Marquette Seton Hall is my National Marquette Day without question. Without question, that is National Marquette Day next year. That has to be. It has to be it. This is an actual rivalry. Miles Powell ignoring Wojo's handshake. All the fighting going on. This Seton Hall team is very young, actually. Miles Powell does leave, but he's the only one. Seton Hall will be very good next year. So I hope that does get on the books. But, you know, it's fine. Whatever. We're not in the Big East Championship. We're still in the tournament. I'm sure Seton Hall will get in. Congratulations. It's more money for the Big East. But as Homer said at the beginning of the broadcast, I really don't care about the other teams in the Big East. I don't. I like Villanova. I stand for Villanova. But other than that, I don't give a shit. And especially if you're going to play this type of fuckboy basketball like Miles Powell and the gang did here in Seton Hall, then I really don't care. You know, Seton Hall to me, was just a joke. And they should be embarrassed. Just like the officials. I don't think Marquette played the cleanest game ever, but Seton Hall just kept doing chintzy shit left and right. And they got called for some of it. They didn't call for all of it. And let's just get into the ejection for those who might have missed it, those who are going to probably text me and be like, what the fuck happened last night? Or like my guy Kurt, who was at the Wisconsin high school games. First of all, Kurt Hogg's a great follow for a lot of reasons, but he did such a good job with the basketball, the division or the state title and the state semifinal games today. You gotta follow Kurt. Like, he does a great job. He's good at what he does. Anyways, so if you're like Kurt and you want an explanation on Twitter, I will provide that. I can provide it, but I'll provide it here. So basically, there is a scrum. Miles Powell goes up for a layup. Theo John touches him in the air. So, but I, when I say touches, I don't mean he pushed him to the ground. I mean he touched him. He tried to alter his shot slightly. He did alter his shot. Theo John, you know, he missed the layup. And Powell then runs up and tries to start a fight with him. Now John walks away. He doesn't do anything. Sakar Anum tries to run a guy off, and then that leads to more of a sort of a fracas. Now, do I think Sakar should have walked away and not touched him? Yeah, absolutely. But I know Sakar was protecting his guy Theo. I get it. But Sakar had already had a technical foul. And we'll get to that in a second here. So Miles Powell comes running up. He comes drawing. They decide to give Theo a double technical for what he did. Now, in a lot of ways, if you're going to call this, it probably should have been a flagrant one. If you wanted to say, like, he hit him in the air and that was an illegal play, it should have been a flagrant one. Kind of like a hook and hold, right? Like, the hook and hold has been a controversial thing all year. It would be very similar to a hook and hold. Do you want to call that? You call a flagrant foul on Theo, and that's fine. Miles Powell has two at the line. I think he would end up four, but regardless, he would be at the line. So you go forward with that, and that is sort of what you lead to. Instead, they give him a double tech, which is kind of unheard of if you think about body contact. And I want you to remember body contact here, okay? So we're just going to stick with that word. So remember that. Just keep it in your back pocket. So Anum gets tossed. So does the European guy for Samu. I don't know what the fuck his name is. I don't really care. The greasy-looking guy that smokes a lot of cigarettes from Seton Hall, he gets tossed. And then you also had John and Sakar Anum get tossed. Sakar got his second technical, so he was asked to leave. John with the double tech. And so Powell also got a technical there. So, and at the time, we thought Powell was ejected. I think everyone thought Powell was ejected. Beat writers, people on Twitter, we all thought Powell was gone. Now, he was not gone. So Powell had got a flagrant in the first half. Now, let me remind you that Theo John got a double tech for body contact, for basically illegal body contact, because he used his hand to push Powell in the air. Now, Powell, who is a Big East star, he's a very well-known Big East player. He elbowed the fucking shit out of Sakar Anum. Now, that led Anum to get a technical and Powell to get a flagrant. So let me ask, which is a lot of body contact. So let me ask you, what the fuck is the difference between what Miles Powell did in the first half and what Theo John did in the second half? Miles Powell should not have been playing in the fucking game. Miles Powell is a fuckboy. I want you to hear that. Miles Powell, you are an asshole, dude. You are not a good you're a good basketball player. You're fun to watch. And now I saw some Seton Hall fucks who are like, oh, they were trying to bait Powell all game. Well, yeah, because he's a fucking hothead. That's what you do to hotheads. Do you understand how basketball works? Do you get it? And so for James Breeding to have this sort of line of demarcation of what is a technical and what is a flagrant foul is absolutely fucking ridiculous. And I cannot believe that this happened to Marquette. And they deserve so much better. This should have been a good basketball game. These were two good teams. They were playing a good game of basketball. And the refs had to go in there and fuck it all up. And they had to call a tight game. And because they called a very, very tight game, and they called a bunch of technicals, this game spiraled out of control. The Big East should be embarrassed. Val Ackerman should not let these guys be a part of their officiating crew next year. There is no excuse for this. And if Val Ackerman stays silent, it says more about the Big East than it does about the two teams that played in this. So congrats to Seton Hall for winning this game. But don't feel good, because it's not something to feel good about. Again, I hope Villanova beats them by 45. Fuck these guys forever. I look forward to beating them twice next year. So anyways, Marquette loses. We'll talk about them on Sunday, or Monday, I should say, with sort of the selection recap and look at what's all happening there and sort of get ready for selection Sunday in sort of that manner. I think they'll get a 5. I doubt that they'll get a 4, but I think a 5 is probably going to happen. I actually really hope they get put with Murray State, because everyone will pick that. That'll be the sexy pick, the sexy 12-5 that you'll tell your friends about, and then they'll kick Murray State's ass, because low-key, Murray State's not that good besides John Morant. They're not good. Marquette's beat better Murray State teams in the past. I do want to move on to a few other topics. That felt good. It felt very cathartic. So the Badgers did actually win, so they are moving on. So one Wisconsin team does get into Saturday. The Badgers are playing Michigan State for the right to play in the Big Ten championship game against Minnesota or Michigan. And that be an interesting game for the Badgers. They did all right against Michigan State the first time around. Michigan State just pulled away at the end. Couple key things in this one that I look at. Number one, Ethan Happ has to wake up. He had one of his worst games as a Badger. He has 4.7 turnovers in the game against Nebraska. He really struggled. He only played 20 minutes total in that game. So, but I have noticed that Ethan Happ doesn't really stay in slumps long. That Ethan Happ finds a way to usually break out of it. I would imagine that we get a pretty good performance out of Ethan Happ on Saturday. Now, Michigan State has some size and they can compete, but I can see Happ having a big day. Number two, I really think you need to stop Cashon Winston. So whether that's Demetri Trice or Brad Davidson, they need to be really good and they need to be on their A game defensively. And the one who's not guarding Winston needs to be the offensive cog. So probably Demetri Trice. And Trice and Davidson have both struggled from the perimeter, struggled from the field, really all the down the stretch here. Trice hit a huge three to sort of separate Wisconsin against Nebraska. The score looks a little closer than it was. I mean, Nebraska hit a last second three. It was 66-59. Some of us had the under, and that would kill us. But anyways, that's here and there. So, I think the Badgers can win that game. I do think Michigan State has a lot of bodies to throw at them. I could see it going either way. I think it'll be a really close game. I'm going to say it's a toss-up. Not going to make a pick. I don't really make picks of basketball games. It's just not – it's too hard, man. I don't know why I can make picks of football. Maybe it's because it's once a week. Who knows? But that's another story for another time. All right, to wrap it up, I did want to also talk about the Bucks. So, like, I'm not a Badger fan, so Badgers winning doesn't really affect me. But the Bucks, the fact that the Bucks were down by 20 the first half, everybody's saying, oh, they had the Miami flu. Miami nightlife's overrated. Yada, yada, yada. The Bucks won the second half 71-36. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 33 points, 16 rebounds, 9 assists. Huge game for Giannis. Chris Middleton had 21 and 8 and 4. He played a large role in the comeback in the third quarter. In a lot of ways, I think Chris's impact was bigger than Giannis. Even though Giannis had the gaudy stat line, Chris and Ersan Ilyasova were really the reasons why the Bucks were back in that basketball game. And so they deserve some credit. And it's hard for me to look at that and say, I think it goes beyond the box score. Middleton was great in the third quarter. Again, Giannis playing that Mariano Rivera role of the closer. And I think it's a great psychological edge for the Bucks. I mean, they've been dead in the water against Miami in multiple trips. and they find a way to win, pull one out, and be great. And then you just love to see it. You love to see it from the Milwaukee Bucks, and they move on to face a big game against Philly. To be honest, like when it was not going well, I told our group chat to Mitch and another friend, I go, you know, I would just rather have us lose tonight and then beat Philly. If you're going to ask me, you would go 1-1. What would you rather do? I'd say lose tonight and then beat Philly. But yeah, no psychological edge. Bucks win another season series. Feeling good, feeling great. It helps me forget a little less about this Big East debacle. So anyways, we'll be back tomorrow, I think. I'd like to do a podcast tomorrow regarding where I see the brackets laying out, what Palm is saying, what Lenardi's saying, what the other brackets are saying. Probably not talking too much about the bubble since it doesn't matter for Wisconsin or Marquette, but we'll look at that. We'll also recap what Wisconsin did against Michigan State, as well as talk about a Big Ten championship game potentially if the Badgers were to advance. All right, take care, Tappers. Hope you guys enjoyed the ranting this evening. Beer's on me as always. Take care. Have a good one. Stay safe today, too, if you're out on St. Patty's Day. No, not a lot of green beer. Just want to get that out there. All right, again, beer's on me. Take care. Have a good one.